All right, hey, and we are broadcasting and somebody's beatboxing. That was weird. I guess Ray's really excited because, hey, normally we do the beta show here with the Church Digital and Stadia Church Planting. It's Thanksgiving. It's the end of 2020, and dang it, I needed a break. So we are not doing the beta show. If you have questions that you are so desperate to text in, text your questions to 484-324-8724. We'll do them for a future show. Just last night, I got a question that I was like, oh my gosh, I totally want to address this like next week because we're not doing it tomorrow because today, dang it, I want to goof off because that's just what I want to do.
I want to apologize in advance to that person because we will forget by next week. So text Jeff again the question next Tuesday because we will forget.
I totally put it in Slack. I like programmed the reminder. There's no way we're forgetting. It's going to happen. It was a good question. I even answered it for the guy. Hey, here's the response via text. You'll want to hear it in a future show, but we'll get there. 2020 is cray cray, right? And so like, you know, it's crazy. I never thought in January I would even use the word cray cray. I'm not really the cray cray kind of guy. And even like the language of cray, like it's so summarizing what this year has been. And so I decided, hey, why not, right? We got the internet. I'm going to create a show and we're going to call it Cray. That's all it is. It's going to be cray because we're just going to talk about the crazy topics, whatever I want to talk about, because dang it, it's the end of the year. 2020's nuts. And we just want to goof off. So for the first episode of Cray, it's going to be the ultimate Thanksgiving smackdown. I brought in some guys here and I just really wanted to talk about what Thanksgiving looks like. And let's talk about, because it's so many different ways, so many different traditions, so many different options. Dang it, let's figure out in 2020, let's figure out what the best of it is. And so this is what we're going to do here with the first episode of Cray. We're going to figure out what the greatness of Thanksgiving is. And so we've got Ray DeArmas, of course, who is a longtime co-host here with the Church Digital, digital pastor over at Christ Fellowship Miami, bringing on some couple guys. These were digital pastors, our digital pastors, that were part of an online Bible study I did a decade ago or last 15 month.
Years ago in COVID
15
time.
15 years ago, you know, 1984 before the internet was really around, something like that. So I've got Mark Brandt from Lutheran. Hope Lutheran Church. Church of Hope Lutheran. It's some mixture of that. And so
Lutheran Church of Hope. You'll get
Lutheran there. Church of Hope. Hopefully, you know, that's the beauty of live. Normally I would like record that four times and take forever. Right. Now we're just going to leave the screw up out there and it's going to be great. All right. And so we've got Andy Mage here from the state of Florida, hanging out in Tampa. And so love what's happening over at Bay Hope Church. And they are doing both these guys are doing phenomenal jobs in this season with it. Really excited about what's coming out of some of the stories coming out of Mark's church on how they're doing some different things with VBS in the summer and how it's expanding in. Andy Mage has been doing a phenomenal job of really exploring this idea of like a content-centered church that's not just content-centered, but drives towards, towards the disciple-making process. But like I said, I'm not working today. I'm taking a break. So that's all we're going to talk about online. We may sneak some stuff in later, but it's not about that. So here, let's do this. I really want to dig into, since we're doing Cray 01 here, Ultimate Thanksgiving Smackdown. I want to kick it off right here. We got a series of topics, questions, and I just want to open it up to the floor and let them goof off. All right. So here we are. Question number one, salad, waste of space or save it for the rabbits? Once again, salad, waste of space or save it for the rabbits?
I object. I'm going to Phoenix write this and I object immediately. It's on the East Coast. It's 12:39. And I just had a salad for lunch. So are we talking just Thanksgiving salad?
So the judge would like to say at this point that we are just talking Thanksgiving Day. Great. I am all for a salad 364 days of the year.
Good.
Maybe. But in context here, Thanksgiving Day, salad, waste of space or save it for the rabbits? What are we saying?
Waste of space.
Waste of space. Yeah. Waste of space. Screw the rabbits.
Unless it has a mayonnaise-based dressing of some sort, like a seven-layer salad, I can get down with that. But just straight up salad and dressing, not for Thanksgiving.
If mayonnaise is really in with salad, is it still salad or is it like
it is a plant-based fat treat at that
point. It is absolutely.
Like Cobb salad on the regular,
yeah.
Right? Like
exactly, yeah. Cobb salad. Cobb salad is just a vehicle for bacon and eggs.
Oh, heaven, yes.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. So salad at this point, it is a waste of space on the table because even I haven't even seen a chef dare to throw down a salad at a Thanksgiving dinner just because it doesn't even fit with the rest of the motif, right? Like there's other veggie dishes that we're going to get into in this kind of thing, but the color green isn't necessarily a Thanksgiving thing unless it's involving broccoli and cheese, right? So that's not really something that really goes down on a Thanksgiving dinner.
I've never felt more awkward wearing a green shirt online than I have right now, Ray. Thanks for calling me out.
You're welcome.
I didn't realize I was not Thanksgiving themed when I got dressed this morning. I thought I was trying something new, but I guess not. So awesome. All right, good. Orange. So we are saying it's a waste of space. Moving on, you know, we talked a lot about this idea of how we're just going to like just eat all day. It's like a come and go thing. It's not necessarily this. So best Thanksgiving appetizer. Best Thanksgiving appetizer. Just opening it up. What are you guys thinking? Who wants to go first?
I'll go with it. It's the veggie tray. I feel like this is the one time of year you throw the ranch dressing right in the center. You got veggies all around it to dip it in. You got olives on there. You got pickles on there. You've got carrots. You got broccoli, cauliflower. And in addition to that, Chex Mix.
All right. The only way I'm going to interrupt here, sorry, Andy. The only way I would accept a veggie tray in this answer is if it involves some sort of bacon wrap deep fried adjective in describing it. So, like, even in preparation for this broadcast, I Googled appetizers and found a recipe for bacon wrap deep fried pickles. Ooh. I have no idea. I am intrigued. I bookmarked it. We will revisit at a later time. That would be an acceptable substitution. Yes, very, very good. All right, somebody else. What's a good Thanksgiving appetizer heading into this thing?
I mean, I'm going non-traditional, and I'm going to be a little nuts here. But because we're such a football-oriented household around Thanksgiving time, chips and salsa is always on the table for us.
Yes, that was literally going to be my answer.
Awesome. Andy and I are, you guys are going to find Andy and I are totally in sync.
Copacetic, man. Thanksgiving.
But we normally do outside of 2020, we normally do turkey bowl in the morning, right? And then we come in. And so it's like the perfect chips and salsa opportunity. It's not too filling. It tastes great. And it's something you can just leave on the table throughout the entire party and you know it's going to go. So for us, chips and salsa kind of works really well.
Correct. And then if you want to up your game a little bit, my 14-year-old daughter, she always makes hard-boiled deviled eggs every single year. And those right there, just one or two of those, plus some chips and salsa, and you're ready for the pre-feast nap. Mm. And then you can wake up and actually feast and then take another nap and then just continue on with your day.
Yeah, but the deviled eggs are a main dish, though. They're not an appetizer.
See,
really? They're like a staple. Bring that on.
I go app on that one. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would go app. Like, okay, Mark, here's a question. Where do you stand on mozzarella sticks? Fried mozzarella.
Oh, gosh.
Appetizer or meal?
That's an appetizer with I can't even think of the
mozzarella. The red sauce.
Marinara.
Okay. Yes. So you basically just think of your deviled egg as a mozzarella stick with mayonnaise. Cause you already talked about the mayonnaise. You already talked about, you know, all of this thing. It's a portable, protein packed fat bomb for you. That's two fat bombs. And what are we 8 minutes into this thing? Yeah, we're rocking it.
Yep. And Andy, since you're mentioning eggs and since we already talked eggs and bacon and the Cobb salad deal, a little candied bacon with those deviled eggs, some pancake syrup and some black pepper, put in the oven for 10 minutes, change your life. I'm telling you, throw that down. It's a great app. It's good.
Yeah.
All right. So just an impromptu question. Don't have a slide for this. Defibrillator. Required or optional? All of this that we're eating here. I think we just killed 20% of COVID. Nothing. It's Thanksgiving dinner. It's killing everybody. That's awesome. Beautiful. Okay. Hey, I apologize for the COVID joke. That just got awkward. All right, moving on. Turkey, normal, whatever normal is, versus deep fried. I'm gonna call myself out here. I don't know that I've ever had a deep fried turkey.
Oh, you are missing.
Well, that's just either. It. Yeah, I say it, guys. And everybody who has is like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? So you guys tell me.
It's a little bit, the deep fried turkey is a little bit like Valhalla. You know that it's on the other side of pain and misery, but you know that once you get there, it's going to be joyous. Just a joyous celebration of all things turkey and poultry and everything. The only problem is that it's very dangerous, and you know, you have to be in an area. So like, you couldn't do it up north where there's snow, because it would just, everything would blow up. Now in Florida, where three of us are at, all you gotta do is just take it out into the driveway and you can deep fry 14 turkeys if you want.
Yeah, if you want a rabbit hole to run down for about a half an hour, Google deep fried turkey fails.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
You will see some seriously, yeah, there's some, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's akin to the 4th of July fails as well. It's like almost the same look.
Yep. Nice. Yeah. A friend of mine who's a firefighter has actually told me that they get more calls for that than they do for the heart attack stuff on Thanksgiving. They get more calls for the deep fried fails, because so many people, the canister falls over, or they're putting it in like on the sacred pole and the thing splashes and then things go everywhere. But yes, it is a worthy YouTube rabbit hole to jump down. So go for it.
Now I'm going to put something out there. I saw a meme floating around. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was the cardboard testimonies guy. I don't know if you've ever seen him. Always holding up the cardboard thing, and he had one. Love him. It said something to the effect of, "Thanksgiving turkey is overrated. Convince me it's not." And I almost agreed with him. I'm a turkey fan. Like turkey lunch meat. I'm more of a fan of the turkey after the meal, you know, the sliders and the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The actual turkey for the meal, I'm not the biggest fan of. And Ray, you and I, before the show here, we were kind of talking about some alternatives here. So could you walk the fine folk of the internet through what's going on with your family? And then I want to interject there.
Yeah. So somebody in our daughter's class tested positive for COVID. And so we're being, you know, very, very cautious, and we're doing our own thing as such this year. And we're going to miss our other family members, but, you know, we wanted to make sure and keep everybody safe. And so I asked my wife, hey, it's a non-traditional Thanksgiving. We're two adults and two kids. A turkey is a waste of time, and it's also a waste of food. So I asked her, because I've been asking this for years, if I could make ribs for Thanksgiving. And God bless her, she gave me the green light. And man, let me tell you, I just, before this podcast, I was throwing the rub on. Jeff had to text me. He's like, hey, bro, you jumping in? And I was like, yes, I'm coming in now. But I was like massaging the rub into the ribs. I was like, you know, elbow deep in rib and rub and all that stuff. It was amazing. And so I'm fired up, because tomorrow those suckers are getting cooked and I can't wait.
So you'll see the caption below, Thanksgiving versus Ribsgiving. This last Sunday, we have some friends of ours in the neighborhood that are, they've got, I think, 14 of them. No, they're, I think there's seven kids and two adults. So there's literally nine people living in the house. And then my five that live with us. And so we were trying to do a Friendsgiving, because we weren't going to see them on Thanksgiving because of COVID and all the other things, because she's a nurse and we didn't want to track a thing. Anyway, I said, what about cooking ribs? And let's just do a gigantic Ribsgiving. And my wife said, what do you mean by that? And I said, I have that Traeger out there. I have 7 pounds of country style ribs in the fridge. Our neighbor had 7 pounds of baby back ribs and then 3 pounds of beef short ribs. So if you count that, that's 17 pounds of ribs. And we cooked them all up. We cooked some pork chops up. We cooked some wings up. We cooked all the Thanksgiving sides up. And I tell you what, the ribs were the standout performer of that meal. And so I'm putting forth in 2021, hashtag Ribsgiving, and I want people to join Ray and I on this crusade to get rid of the Thanksgiving turkey and instead put down the Thanksgiving pig. Who's with me?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Well, you said join us, so that means I'm coming to Florida then to join you guys.
Done. We got space. We've got 17 pounds of ribs, so we're good.
Come on down. You're gonna see it. Florida man changes turkey out for ribs on Thanksgiving. It's gonna be perfect.
Done.
I just bought ribsgiving.com, so we will market this, promote this, and we're going to make it a thing. I got to tell you, I'm not a big turkey fan day of. We'll get to this later. Ooh. Day after, I love me a reheated turkey. It's awesome. Yes. Day of,
I'll defend this rib
thing. Fortunately, my mom, who does the cooking of the turkey, is in a car driving and is probably not watching this broadcast right now. So, Mom, if you do watch this on demand, I'm sorry. I love your turkey. It's awesome. So, all right, let's move on here. But there is something there towards this Ribsgiving thing. Hey, gravy with or without giblets? Oh. No giblets?
Without.
Thank
yes,
God. All right, so let's move on quickly. Yeah. I just started World War III at my house with that question, because my father is like the giblet king. And it's like, it's disgusting. I don't understand. Why would I want to eat that anyway?
You have to make the gravy, though, with the drippings from the turkey. That's going to give you the best gravy. But you can use some of the burnt stuff that's on the bottom of your roasting pan to make that really rich and flavorful. But Jim, come on.
I feel you. Okay, moving on. Potato, sweet, baked, or mashed?
Mashed, 100%.
All
mashed,
of them.
Mashed?
Respect. I'm a sweet potato guy. I really am. But that's also because Lauren makes it almost like it's a dessert. You know, like it's got bananas, sweet potato, and then brown sugar, cinnamon on top. So it's borderline dessert. It could hardly be called a side because it's so sweet. So, yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So we're saying all three. That makes sense for that. Unsung hero on the plate. So I just listed off a bunch of things. What are we missing? Ooh. What's the one thing right now that you're like, this makes Thanksgiving, but it's not listed here? We haven't green talked about casserole. It yet. Green bean casserole. Definitely. Yep. That's high.
That's and just then the corn. Where you can't not. Here's my. I'll tell you my one fail. So green bean casserole is one of those things that if you have to go simple on it. You have to go the, you know, canned cream of mushroom soup, the, you know, canned green beans, the French's, you know, fried onions, because that's what people want. I one year got crazy. I bought a $60 mandolin from Pampered Chef, you know, to slice my onions. I made my own fried onions. I made my own mushroom sauce to go with this thing. And I got fresh green beans and I made that up. I was proud of this dish that I brought to our Thanksgiving. And everybody looked at me like, what did you do? You ruined this. I mean, this was gourmet green bean casserole. And everybody looked at me like, you idiot. You just ruined the best dish on the plate by trying to make this from scratch.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, this green bean casserole, if you want to add it up, cost me $75 to make this thing. You know, I got nice portobello mushrooms. I made it was a cream-based, you know, sauce that went with it. And they just said, you could have done this for $5. It would have been a lot better.
Oh, Lord.
This is the reason some people crave Taco Bell over, like, those, you know, artisanal cantina tacos and all that other stuff.
That's very nice. There's probably a ministry implication in there somewhere. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just
keep it simple, stupid.
It's funny that this is like the pre-Christmas episode, right? Because everybody just wants their traditional Christmas music, but then we're like, no, bro, we're gonna throw some U2 in there or something else, and they're like, dude, we just wanted to sing Joy to the World. Leave me alone. So that's how it goes. For me, the unsung hero on the plate, and this is just because I'm a bread guy, Pillsbury Grands. Every year, bro, I down like 1,000 of them. It's so simple. It's so easy. And yet every year I gobble them all up. They're amazing. Mm.
I'm going to have to go with the corn casserole. I don't know why, but I will grab two or three helpings of that just Jiffy. And again, it has to be the Jiffy, like out of the box, give me a can of creamed corn and a whole stick of butter and we're good.
Whole stick of butter and anything
sugar,
in Thanksgiving
some sugar
is good.
There's sugar in there too, right? Yeah, I mean, there's
probably love and sugar and butter and everything in there. Yeah, I'm good with all of it.
All right, so we've got somebody.
Some of these things, I'm sorry, Jeff, but some of these things you would never, like, this is like a one time a year. Like, I can't think of another time a year. I'm like, man, green bean casserole. Man, corn casserole. It's just, but you have to have these things because it just is what your brain and your body expect. It's that one day of the year you're like that cranberry jello that comes from the can, like the cranberry sauce, basically, because you used it as opposed to. I mean, you pour it out, it's still got the ribs from the can, you know, formed into the jello. But no time out of the year are you going to eat that except on Thanksgiving.
That's right. Mm.
Totally true. Now, does the cranberry sauce, does it have like the cranberry bits in it, or are we better off not? You see, I would prefer no bits. I don't want the bits. I like clean uniform. It's not ready for that. So Ray, what are you thinking on that?
I think you go without it. I mean, you know, if you're going to go for the whole motif, just let it come out of the can, slide out of the can, and let it jiggle on the plate a little bit before it comes apart.
I got Brian coming in as well. Brian Mostel, stuffing, gotta have it. Depends on the gravy. Yeah, it's you guys tell me, what are you thinking?
I mean, in my house, it's true. They always roll stovetop and then they chop up apples and throw it inside. And that's normally what we roll with.
I started making my youngest is allergic to like 12 different things, wheat, soy, peanut, dairy, all the things. And so I started making a cornbread stuffing with homemade sage sausage and apples and onions. And I tell you what, I don't care that nobody else eats it. It's my wife and I getting down on a pan of that.
Yep. The sausage is the one stuffing add-on that I will allow because I think it just adds to it. But I'm, you know, apples, I'm not opposed to it. That sounds like a good add, you know.
It's great.
All right, moving on. We got other things to talk about here. Dessert, pecan, pumpkin, or other. What are we thinking? Pecan, pumpkin, or other.
Okay, let me start off by just making one a little aside correction. So I I went to a cooking class in Nolens one time, and this Cajun chef said, "Here's the deal: the pecan is what you take with you on the fishing boat if you're going to be out all day. The pecan is what goes in the pie."
I love it.
Just love throwing that out there.
Okay.
I love it.
So whatever Jeff, works, you, man. Excuse
Jeff, you want to talk
pecan? Pecan.
There you go. There you go. You want to talk?
I thought
about,
he was going to call me out because I had desert.
No,
it wasn't the typo on the slide. It said I'm not pronouncing it correctly for you. I'm sorry. No, my sincere apologies. Pecan. I hate pecans. Pumpkin, or is there something other? What is the preferred dessert here as we're walking into Thanksgiving?
We roll pumpkin or apple in the DeArmas household. We have some apple pie. Yeah, we have some apple pie and some vanilla ice cream ready just to throw a quick scoop on there for either or, and obviously some Cool Whip nearby. And that's kind of how we roll. I mean, I love the smell of roasted pecan. So if you roll pecan pie, you're not going to get a complaint here because of that smell when it fills up my house. It's good. But the way that we roll typically is pumpkin or apple.
Yeah, and we're the same, Ray. Again, we're like in it together. We don't do the vanilla ice cream. We are instead Cool Whip fiends, and so we'll have probably three tubs of Cool Whip for 15 of us, and it'll all be gone at a certain point.
Nice.
Yeah.
We make one concession for my brother-in-law. So my brother-in-law is a French silk guy.
Oh.
So even though French silk doesn't scream Thanksgiving, I've got one in my fridge right now because even though we're not going to get together inside our house, we bought a fire pit because us Iowans are resilient in the cold. And so we're going to sit outside and we'll have a piece of pie outside by the fire pit.
Huh, so that's pretty awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
By the fire pit. You see, these are things we don't get to enjoy in Florida. I mean, I want to go somewhere where I can have sweating. A fire pit.
We do, but it's already 90 degrees, you know, and then you have the fire pit juices it up to like 120.
Yeah.
You walk outside, get eaten by mosquitoes. It's just, man.
We don't have mosquitoes in the winter, Jeff. Seriously. No.
All right. Well, some feedback from the outside. Pecan evidently makes somebody want to vomit here and pumpkin for the win. Another dessert here, at least I'm assuming it's a dessert. Creamy cheese oven roasted Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
Oh, you know what? That's probably not a dessert. That's probably one of the later comments. Mm-mm. That would be funny though. But anyway, all right, moving on. That joke sounded better in my head before I actually said it. Hey, so we've got
Brussels sprouts.
A pretty
sorry, I interrupted you there, Jeff. Yeah, move on.
And we're back. Best time but we've been talking a lot about the food. Let's shift gears. Let's talk about the overall experience. We're digital pastors. We're used to exploring the overall experience, the vibe, the look, the feel in digital context. So let's talk about this. Best time for the meal. When are we actually eating this meal Thursday morning? Thursday.
Oh, not morning.
Definitely not morning.
You.
Not morning. Yeah. My fault. Oh, Thursday.
Oh. I have a almost scientifically proven method of determining when to have it. So in my household, it is 4 o'clock is wrong. Whoever that Facebook user was, I apologize. 4 o'clock is when dessert is. 1 o'clock is when dinner is because football starts at 12. By 1 o'clock, you're halfway through the second quarter. So nobody wants to do anything during halftime. You definitely don't want to watch the crappy halftime show at the 12 o'clock game, which is the Lions typically. So you have your meal at 1. You come back for the rest of the football game, you digest, you let everything kind of percolate a little bit, you make the coffee. By 4 to 4:15, it is dessert time. And then by 7 o'clock, then you get back on that, like, second Z's, you know, we're going to make sliders out of the Hawaiian rolls, that type of thing. That happens then. But you have to keep it within the same realm of normal meals because If you do it at like a two, like somebody else just put 2:30. If you do 2:30, your whole body's out of whack. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night hungry. You're not going to know when to eat breakfast. I mean, your kids are going to be crying. You know, all of these things. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is the scientifically proven way. And I rest my case.
See, do we believe in science anymore? I'm confused. Like, I'm kidding.
Done. I'd say it's when the turkey's done.
There you go.
You know, yeah, so 1 o'clock is good.
Yeah, we roll 1 p.m. too, but mostly because my wife is from Kansas City, and that was traditional for her. Now, growing up Latin, I mean, Latins are crazy. We do everything at night. And so for us, it works out for our family because 1 o'clock is, you know, we sit down with her family and we have Thanksgiving. And then typically by 7 o'clock, we're rolling over to my folks' house and they're starting their deal because, you know, for the most part, they're going to stay up all night. And so that's how that works. But for us, it works out perfect. I agree with you guys. 1 o'clock is such a great time to do it because you just get loaded up, you get stuffed, and you can enjoy the rest of the football for the rest of the day. It works out so much better. And especially if you're coming in from a turkey bowl, you're coming in all drenched in sweat. You had a great time. And then you take a shower, you come in, you eat a great big meal. It's so refreshing. It's good.
Let's just point out the fact that you called Latins crazy on a broadcast. That's going to come back and bite you later down the road.
I am Cuban. I promise you. So it's okay. Allowed. Technically, right? So, yeah.
So you've been talking a lot about turkey bowl here. The preferred Thanksgiving exercise: turkey bowl, turkey trot, or turkey nap. What are we thinking here? We playing football? We going for a run, or are we just sleeping the day away?
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. That's.
Yeah, we used to. When I was, go ahead. Right. Yeah, when I was a kid, we used to do. I mean, it has to involve football because you're going to watch football. But we used to go out and we would do this sideline catch exercise. Like, we wouldn't actually play a game. We would just find a sidewalk.
You're just running drills.
Yeah, and we would try and catch the ball and, you know, get 2 feet down. And it just became this running route thing that we would do. And because we never had enough cousins to play a full-on game. So we just would make up, you know, stuff and play. But, yeah, it's got to involve with football. It's that one time out of the year where everybody – you know, becomes an athlete, you know, for about 20 minutes worth of just, you know, messing around.
It's so true. And the rest of the day you spend in pain of the reminder of the fact that you have not been practicing all year, but you decided to go ahead and run sprints on routes and all that stuff. And so you spend the rest of the day just sore and your muscles are just reminding yourself, hey, another year older. It's like that nice bitter push before the end of the year of age, just reminding you, oh, take a look, right? Like, you've got back muscles and leg muscles that really haven't been used in quite a long time. But turkey bowl for us is a must. Turkey nap is a definite, especially after that 1 o'clock meal. Oh boy, at 3 o'clock, nobody cares about the Lions' fourth quarter. It's so great for a turkey nap. And so Detroit fans, you know it too. I mean, it's really a game that whether you win or you lose, the playoffs don't matter anyway, so it's fine.
So I am a Detroit fan, and I will tell you, we still don't care about our Thursday afternoon. We still do not. Usually we're losing in the middle of third quarter anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's good.
Awesome. That's so good. Like, even the Lions fans, even the Lions players, let's be honest, they're sleeping that fourth quarter away anyway. So
there is a run here in Iowa. So we have this place called Living History Farms. And it's like a vintage farm thing where you can go and you can actually churn butter and things like that. But they have a turkey trot each year, but it's not your traditional like run on, you know, an outdoor path. It is literally around their grounds, and there's a hill that's got a rope that, you know, goes down. You actually have to hand rope up this hill. So it's not really a race you try and win. It's a race you try and endure. Cause I think it's like 6.5 miles.
Wow.
And so people will do that, but they set it for like 8 o'clock in the morning so you can get home in time to eat. And I cheer them on. I'm like, you go. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, that's right.
From the sideline.
Yep.
Good job.
Good job.
And well, and let's be honest, in 2020, probably we've not been the most athletic as we normally would have been if this was an average year. So those of you who are out there watching, don't kill yourselves doing some of this stuff. Don't pull the muscle. Don't strain the thing. Don't tear the thing. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, be careful, you know. All right. Moving on here. Wrapping up here. Better Thanksgiving Day entertainment. Watching a parade, watching football, watching 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special. Insert something else in. Like, what is the better Thanksgiving Day entertainment for y'all?
I've got a wild card here. Football's the one. But when we were living in Georgia and when we were able to actually do things before COVID, we would do so again. Let's go back to the timetable, ladies and gentlemen. 1 o'clock dinner. So for me, it was turkey trot in the morning, football after that with the kids, then actual like let's watch the first quarter, and then the meal at 1, and then the nap at like 2:33. Dessert at 4, if you wanted secondsies, maybe 6, 7, and then the 9 o'clock movie. And usually the 9 o'clock movie at the movie theater. So you take the kids, you go wear them out, you do whatever, and then everybody sits in the back. Sometimes the kids fall asleep, sometimes you're whatever, but it's the best place to just wind down from an afternoon of excitement.
That's good. That's real good. Yeah, for us, we've done the movie at home thing at night. You know, the theater's great, but you know, theaters in Miami, especially pre-COVID, would get kind of stocked up with folks, and so it really wasn't as much of an enjoyable experience. But a nice traditional, even starting up like a Christmas movie around that time, whether it's throwing on Home Alone or something like that, was always kind of a nice way to say goodbye to Thanksgiving and hello to what's next. And so it was always just a fun thing to do there at the end after a day of football, after all the stuff that Andy just said. So it's good.
Yeah, we're going to expose my 11-year-old to I've already started it down the path of righteousness. So we watched the Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark. Nice. And now we're going to finish the series by watching Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, because anything after that is not part of the series.
It's not canon. We don't acknowledge anything that happened after that.
So that's going to be, you know, besides football, that's going to be our evening sesh. We're going to throw in some, because we're doing this year. You guys are doing Ribsgiving or whatever you're doing. We decided to go all New Year's Eve this year for Thanksgiving. We're doing all apps, you know, so it's just, bring back hashtag Ribsgiving. No, we're doing all apps. We're doing the traditional cheesy taco dip and bacon wrapped little smokies. And it's just going to be one of those for us. And we'll just graze all day and then have pie by the fire pit.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
We got to find ways to work all of this together. The Thanksgiving with the turkey, with the Ribsgiving, with the apps, with the cheesy, you know, throw enough cheese on top of Brussels sprouts. The Brussels sprouts are good. You know, you just got to find a way to kind of make all that happen, which is really, I'm still kind of stuck on Andy using the word secondies. Like secondies. This is foreign language to me. I'm sorry. But like that's the beauty of like the leftover, right? When it all just gets kind of put together into like one mush kind of thing, and the casseroles are intermixing, and that mayonnaise salad dressings like all in the it's so good. All right, hey, wrapping up here. Christmas tree before Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving.
After Halloween, my wife will tell you. So it's been up for a while.
After Halloween, that's interesting.
Yeah, All Saints Day has a different connotation for her, huh?
Yes.
That's good. This year, because we're trying to speed this whole 2020 thing up, we actually put ours up before Thanksgiving. But typically, it's that Friday after Thanksgiving. Is it all day, housework day, the lights go up outside, the tree goes up. It all happens the day after Thanksgiving, typically for us. But this year, because, hey, 2020, we're done with you. We want everything to move ahead. It all went up already on Monday. And so Christmas is already ready to go for the table.
I think my tree went up November 5th, November 4th. Like it was just, you know, I was talking about it before Halloween. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to get there. I need some change. I need some happiness in my life. Let's put the tree up. Let's at least try that. So
yeah, awesome. I'm with Ray. It's the day after Thanksgiving for us usually. And the kids have been asking, hey, can we do it now? Can we do it now? It's like, something just doesn't feel right in my soul to do it right now. I'm what my brother calls a calendarist. And so we have to hold true to what the calendar says.
Right. The calendar is predetermining your destination, election, etc. A calendarist.
Correct. Totally and we get it's theologically rich. My November is theologically rich in that vein.
That's funny. This is going to bother you, Andy. I'm going to warn you in advance. I got a Facebook user that's saying, put the tree up after Thanksgiving, duh. But my church did extend Advent 2 weeks. any thoughts or comments on that, Andy?
You can't extend Advent.
Yeah, how did you call adding? God? Like, how? I'm Methodist. We can't do that.
No.
We'll get kicked out. Mark knows what I'm talking about.
Even as a Baptist, I'm like, you can't do that. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, they're coming back. There's precedent. There's,
I mean, come on.
There's precedent. In times of a global pandemic, bring people hope by inviting them to a prolonged Advent experience. So that's beautiful.
Who can forget the Christmas of 1919 and the Spanish flu and the Advent was extended an extra 2 months.
That one time.
I would love, whoever that is on Facebook, I can't see from here. I'll find the comment, but I would love to know details of what that looks like for your church. A precedent I don't care about, but just the story of how that works there.
I would like to know so I can pray for you and your eternal soul as well.
Whoa, that just got dark.
Hey, no, I'm trying to bring light and happiness into that person's life, whoever that is, because precedent. Get out of here.
Andy told you he's a calendarist, all right?
Yeah.
We've established this.
I mean, Andy, we cannot add any more candles to the Advent wreath. There are five.
There's the four on the outside and then the one big one in the middle. That's it. What are you going to do, seven? No way. Then it looks more like a
menorah.
Stop sign. Yeah, a menorah. Whoa.
Oh, my.
Sorry for anyone else out there.
Talking about cray here, evidently. All right. I don't want to prolong this on, but I'm going to go ahead and click on it. Boom.
Facebook user who is not logged in or whatever.
I want to hear the story. I want to hear whoever that is. Hit me up on Facebook. Let's talk about it. This is beautiful. This is crazy, right? We needed some laughter, some fun in this. So I got to tell you, I'm literally pressing end here, and I'm loading up my car. I'm going on vacation for like four
proud
or five
you.
Days,
proud
checking out, doing that, and so I'm really looking forward to doing that.
Can I give you one quick leftover life changing dish?
Do it.
So it'll take 2 seconds or less. So take your leftover turkey, take some leftover stuffing, a little bit of mashed potato, put it in a bowl, mix it all up, scoop that into a crescent roll, wrap that up, bake that bad boy for about 13, 14 minutes with gravy as a dipping sauce. And you're talking a Friday you're not going to regret.
Or not going to wake up.
Or not going to wake up. Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that, Mark. That's good.
There's wow. So like, Ray, you had a friend who was like hot, like urgent care, you know, the ambulance guys, right? Do they get more calls than normal on Thanksgiving for people eating like stuff like that? Like
it's the deep fried turkey. It's the deep fried turkey.
It's not the heart attack. It's deep fried turkey.
It is the deep fried turkey. Yeah. Be warned, people. It is delicious, but deadly, but go for it. And film it.
Delicious, but deadly. The ultimate Thanksgiving feast. Well said there. All right. Hey, we're going to wrap for this year. This is awesome. You guys have the three of you here. Thanks for jumping on this. Thanks for goofing off with us. And I pray and hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving and a great year for 2020. For those of you watching online, I think I know who the Facebook user was. It was Daniel Heron.
Maybe.
Nice.
And so may answer some things. You know, I mean, the Roblox world does live a little different than the rest of us.
They do.
So love them for that and good stuff there. So for Jeff, for everybody else on the screen, we are going to wrap here on beta. Thanks for joining us. And hey, who knows? We'll probably do something crazy here in the next little bit again. So thanks. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving and a great day.